Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here have ever watched soap operas? Okay, a few people raising their hand. Okay. My mom, ever since I've been around, has been an avid soap opera watcher. And she watches one in particular, Days of Our Lives. And to me, I think that the reason that people watch soap operas is because of the fantastical stories. And just so you know, sorry, guys. Kids, you are now dismissed to go downstairs. Sherry's down there waiting for you guys. To me, I think that people watch it because of the fantastical stories. You know, I think it's the only kind of show on TV that someone can die one season and the next season be resurrected or kind of reincarnated as a different, as the same character, but a different person playing it, and no one in the place knows that it's a different person. To me, it's kind of weird like that. And I got to be honest, my mom kind of got me addicted to Days of Our Lives for a while. And again, got to be honest, I still watch soap operas to this day. But here's the thing. The soap opera I watch is the man soap opera. Wrestling. You know, growing up for me, I loved wrestling. Now, just so you know, not that college wrestling stuff. No, I loved the WWF, or as it is now, the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. I loved watching them jump from the top rope and landing that elbow drop, bashing people over the head with chairs, ladders, and tables. I love the drama. To me, like I said, it's the man's soap opera. Yeah, I love the old school wrestlers. Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Randy Savage. I love the new wrestlers. John Cena, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Rock. And I still love it today. In today's wrestling, there is a group, a tag team, a trio of individuals that are called the New Day, right there. And the New Day consists of three individuals. It's Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, and Big E Langston. Now, they're the most popular and entertaining group that has ever been around in wrestling, both for their in-ring ability and the way that they entertain the crowd. But that hasn't always been the case. See, all three men in this group were on their last ropes with the company. By themselves, they were kind of relegated to the middle card of the show. They were basically being jobbers. They were losing to all the other wrestlers. But then someone had the bright idea to join all three of them, and boy, have they shined. They've had a new beginning. They've had a new day. You look over the last year, and no doubt you can find some high points. In fact, with me, January 11th of last year, I moved here and became the youth minister of the church. And coming here, I found a girlfriend, which I didn't think was going to be possible anytime soon. And we've been together for coming on 10 months now. I've had some high points in my life, but most people tend to dwell on the negative things that happen to them. And let's face it, 2020, the year of the pandemic, there's been a lot of negatives, and you feel like you might need a new day. You know, this past year, many of us have faced the loss of loved ones, financial crisis, divorce, all the fights, all the disappointments, all the letdowns, all the splits, the family quarrels. But what if you were able to start over? You were given a second chance. You could change something about yourself to make your life better. You know, I'm happy to tell you that a new year brings a new beginning. It brings a new day. But for that new day to work in your life, you must decide to make some new choices for your life. You have to renew some commitments that you've made many times before and actually commit yourself to a new day. You know, many people around the New Year's, you guys make things called the New Year's resolutions. Does anybody still make New Year's resolutions? No. I know there's some people that still make New Year's resolutions, and they hope and they pray that they're going to turn out. And as I was working through, do you make New Year's resolutions? As I was working through this message, I looked at what the top 10 resolutions that people make are. And here they go. These are the top 10 resolutions. Number 10, get organized. Number 9, help others. Number 8, learn something new. Number 7, get out of debt. Number 6, quit drinking. Number 5, enjoy life more. Well, I don't know how you're going to do this if you quit drinking, but you know. Number 4, quit smoking. Number 3, tame the bulge. Number 2, eat better. Number 1, the number 1 top 10 New Year's resolution is spend more time with family and friends. But for a Christian, that list might look like this. Number 1, read your Bible more. Number 2, spend more time with family and friends. Number 3, pray more. 4, witness more. 5, tithe more faithfully. 6, attend church services more regularly. 7, quit gossiping. 8, quit fighting. 9, help others. And number 10, get involved with the church. But the problem with all of these resolutions are that they are made at the beginning of the year, and they are said that they're going to happen and going to take place without any effort. You know, to lose weight, you might just have to exercise and watch what you eat. To become debt-free, you have to put yourself on a budget. And to read your Bible more, well, first, you might have to own one. And second, you might have to find it. So what am I saying? Well, I'm saying you have to put effort into your resolutions. In 2021, I want to be a better Christian. I want to do more for Christ. I want to have a better job. I want to have a better home. I want to have a better car. I want to be happier. I want to have a better hold on my bills. I want to start over. I want. So how bad do you want it? Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8 reads, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And this morning I would venture to guess that all of us are ready for a new day. A new start to at least one area of our lives. You know, we think about how this new year is going to be better than the last. We could use a fresh look on things. So, in anticipation for this coming year, I want to talk about 4 individuals from the Bible who needed a new beginning, a new day. They all needed a fresh start for a different reason. And I hope you're able to relate to at least one of them. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We glorify you in all things. Lord, right now as I'm giving your words, Lord, I pray that you speak through me. I pray that you touch the minds and the hearts of the different people that are listening to this, both here and online if they're listening to it later. Lord, I pray that you just continue to guide us. We're in a brand new year. We're in a new beginning. And help us to remember that you are always in control and you've never stopped loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the first person I want to talk to you today about is one who suffered burnout, and that would be Elijah. Now, Elijah had just had a great victory. He proved that the prophets of Baal were serving a false god. He had 450 prophets of Baal slaughtered at the Kishon Valley. Ahab reported to Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, and needless to say, Jezebel wasn't very happy about this, and she put a price on Elijah's head. You can find this story in 1 Kings chapter 19, but 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 3 says this: Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went on a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree, and he fell asleep. The story goes on to say that then Elijah was kind of touched by an angel. The angel told him to get up and eat. Then Elijah traveled for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountains of God. The Lord spoke to Elijah there and said, "What are you doing here?" Listen to what Elijah says and see if you think it sounds like he was burned out. He says this. He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites had rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Oh, woe is me, right?" Elijah was then like some of you are today. He was tired and he was burned out. Elijah needed a new beginning. He needed a new day. I once heard that burnout was a natural result of not being fed spiritually. In other words, the people who experience burnout are people who are not in a proper relationship with God. They've lost their God perspective. You know, when I first heard this, I had a very hard time believing it. But the more I evaluate my own life and study the scriptures, I think he's kind of on to something. You know, it's true with Elijah too. How do we know this? Well, after the encounter with God, by being encouraged in God's presence, Elijah was able to move on. You know, this morning, if you need a new beginning, a new day because you are burned out, God's ready to help you. He's ready to help you have a close relationship with him. So, the burnout of Elijah. The second person I want to talk to you today about is someone else who needed a new beginning, a new day, and not because of burnout, but this was because of failure, and that's Peter. You know, we all know the Peter by name. Peter knew all about having second chances. He knew about new beginnings. On more than one occasion, Peter just simply needed a new day. You know, we could talk about Peter's failure. As we talk about Peter's failure, we could mention the time that Christ rebuked him in Mark chapter 8, verse 33. It says, "But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, 'Get behind me, Satan,' he said. 'You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.'" We can speak of the time when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. When he got to Simon Peter, he said to Jesus in John 13, 8, "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you'll have no part of me." John 13, 9, he goes on and Peter says, "Then Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Or perhaps we can mention his most famous failure of denying Christ three times. I think Peter needed a few new days. And this morning, you might need a new beginning because of some failure that you had last year. You might feel a failure as a parent. You might be concerned that you messed up as a spouse. Maybe some of you teenagers in here, maybe you messed up at school and got bad grades. You could have blown your finances for the year. No matter what you feel your failure is, there's still a new beginning. There's still a new day for you. You know, if you think that for one moment that God is going to give Peter all these second chances and then not give you any, you're wrong. It doesn't matter what area of life you think you failed in. God is just waiting to give you a new day. So we have the burnout of Elijah. We have the failure of Peter. Third person I want to share with you today is David. And again, David is no stranger to us. And even David, a man after God's own heart, needed a new beginning, a new day because of sin. You know the story. David was on his roof. He noticed a naked woman on the next rooftop over, bathing, and had her brought to the palace. He then slept with her, and because she was married to one of his soldiers, Uriah, he committed adultery. Well, it didn't take David too long to get caught up in a bad situation made worse, as Bathsheba reports to David that she's now pregnant. And as sin often does, one sin leads to another. He invited Uriah to come home from a battle so he could sleep in his own bed and sleep with his wife, kind of to hopefully rectify this situation. But that attempt didn't work because Uriah, not wanting to be more important than the other soldiers, actually didn't sleep in his own bed. He slept outside. And so when that plan didn't work, David had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. After all this happened, in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, Nathan comes and rebukes David. Nathan the prophet tells David a story about two men. One was rich and the other was poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep, but the poor man only had one ewe lamb. Nathan goes on to say that the rich one had some friends over, and instead of killing and eating one of his own sheep, the rich man chose to kill this poor man's lamb. If you've read the story before, you know that as David heard this, David was mad. He said the rich man should repay the poor man four times the amount he took. Then Nathan said, "You are that man, David." See, David was caught up in his sin, and he needed a new beginning. You see, like David, some of you are caught up in sin, and you need a new beginning. You need a new day. Listen to what David writes in Psalm 51. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you." If you need a new beginning because of sin, God is there to help you have a new day. So the burnout of Elijah, the failure of Peter, the sin of David, and the fourth and final person I want to talk to you today is found in Luke chapter 15. It's the prodigal son. You know, the man had two sons. One day, the younger of the two went to his father and in so many words wished him dead. He was asking for his inheritance, which he shouldn't have until after his father's death. In any event, the father gave the younger son his share. Then he took the money and he ran. He ran away to a distant country, and the scriptures aren't clear about why he ran away. It might have been he didn't like his father's rules. It might have been that he was tired of being picked on by his big brother. You know, we really don't know. You see, the reason for running away isn't the point of the story. Go on, the younger son chose to spend all that he had on worldly pleasures. And it seems that it didn't take him long to blow his entire inheritance. As times became tough, he decided to look for a job. The young man finds himself feeding the pigs and desiring to eat the pig slop. It says in Luke chapter 15, 17, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death.' So he decided to go home and beg his father for forgiveness. And as he was approaching the familiar place that once had been his home, his father saw him. His father was overjoyed and excited, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. He received him with arms wide open." You know, this morning you might relate to this younger son. Oh, you probably haven't wished your father dead, but you may have run away. Maybe not physically, but you've run away. You might have run away from a situation at work. Or you could be avoiding that talk with your spouse that you know will be hard, but it will improve your marriage. Perhaps you find yourself running away from God. He's tried to reach out to you, but you're doing all you can to avoid him. Whatever you might be running away from, in this new year, you can have a new beginning. You can have a new day. I'm sure it's hard to believe, but God is there with arms wide open, ready to give you a new beginning. Pray with me. Lord, as we talk about new beginnings, as we talk about new days, Lord, I know we all need it. This past year has been tough for a lot of people. And Lord, I pray that we are able to just give all control to you and know that you are there with open arms waiting for us, wanting for us to give you everything and just knowing that you're in control. Lord, help us to relate to one of these four people, the burnout of Elijah, the failure of Peter, the sin of David, the running away of the prodigal son. Help us to look at these individuals in the Bible and see how you help them and how you can help us. Lord, we love you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.